Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting broadcast, and oh, what a show we have in store for you today, if my morning is anything to go by. I do want to get people to go to the homepage, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and go there to have a look at our great sponsors, Blue Shield, help you protect you from all the cacophonous wireless radiation, Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga there. It's, you know, soap's a pretty freaking poisonous thing when you think about it, and she makes the good stuff, like really the good stuff. And also, if you happen to be living in New Zealand, there's also Safe Space New Zealand, one of only three qualified people that can come into your home and test it for any kind of radiation and wireless and all of that kind of stuff that you really kind of don't want to be sleeping in, and has a number of remediation techniques to help you get over that. Bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast and it's a listener-supported network. So if you're listening to it for free, think about what you're doing here, how much you get back for it, and some people want to give something in return for what they get for free. Others can't, and we completely understand that. But if you can, it'd be really lovely if you go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and start up an automatic payment, either into the KiwiBank account, which is on the homepage there for the New Zealanders, or if you happen to be in the United States, there are PayPal options as well. Speaking of the housekeeping, it's all going down in the United States right now. There's this big election going on. And Oh, my God. I remember the end of the last election. I actually drank tequila on air one time because I just couldn't hack it, bro. The election is just madness. And it's just so annoying. And it's just so repetitive. It just keeps going on. And you get the exact same results. It's like watching Insanity in slow motion. Nah, you're watching it live in HD. Insanity live in HD. It's called an inaugural address. Oh my God. Oh my freaking God. Somebody to help me calm my nerves is somebody who talks about really very scary things in a credible manner fashion. We can't kind of back out of it or ignore it or deny it, which makes it extremely comforting. My very special guest, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Welcome.
Hello. Welcome. Oh, I'm on my show.
She's also
We're on the same network, so I'm thinking that I'm on my show.
Well, you know, if you want to act under the pretense that you kind of are, you know, go for your life.
I think I'm going to take over your show.
Yeah, I mean, you can try.
Can we battle it out with like robots?
Well, I don't know. I thought we the formula that we came up with today, which was the back and forth and the covering different sides of the topic, seemed to work rather well, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, to give people the context of this, we just put up a little blog post on the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Gerald Celente's gold and silver money making scheme exposed. And Suzanne called me up this morning. She says, "Vinny, you know, you're the only person I could talk to about this. You know, I was pretty sure she was broadcasting from a radio shack or something like that. Just had this massive schizoid, paranoid economic crisis attack." And I'm completely joking, by the way. calls me up and tells me all this stuff about Gerald Celente, and he's making money off of economic crises by I guess we could probably read it out or even play the clip. I don't know exactly where to go from here, but the underlying issue here is that there are people who profit from the truth movement, you know, in some cases quite largely, and not entirely honestly. And as hard as it is to hear, as bad as it is to see, don't shoot the messenger.
No, please don't. There's a lot of gun owners in America. Please don't.
Well, I wonder what really got you interested in this vein of research into Gerald, Suzanne?
It was just the generality. the constant prediction of things that don't come to pass. And in most industries, if you make predictions that don't come true, you eventually go out of business or you're off the air. There's a huge uproar. But for some reason, when it comes to economic collapse, no matter how many times people predict it and it doesn't happen, as long as they make the next prediction, everybody gets all hyped up again. I just don't understand this phenomenon, so I thought I would understand it from the people who are perpetrating it.
And he's not the only one, right? There was a comment on the YouTube video of it almost instantly, within a couple of minutes of it being uploaded, saying that he's not the only one who's profiting massively from hyping up all these coming economic crises and things of this nature.
Oh, absolutely. He's not the only one. Everyone. Well, no, not everyone, because there are some people who actually believe it and they're just regurgitating it because they believe it. They probably have purchased gold and silver and ore, and they're hoping that it would be true because that's a pretty hefty investment. A lot of people don't have a lot of money, but they're doing it anyway because they were told to by massive amounts of people in the truth movement who happen to be connected to gold, you know, precious metals brokers. And I don't know why this isn't obvious. So it perpetuates, it continues, and it will continue. Every year there'll be a new prediction. Every year everybody will buy more and more gold, sending the price of gold up and making a lot of money for people who are betting against the dollar.
It sounds exactly like, let's look at it this way. I remember somebody told me that Bill O'Reilly used to be a JFK researcher, right? And he came to the conclusion that people were really stupid. When you come to that conclusion, the answer is you can either become a guardian or a predator. And he chose to prey on people, to prey on their weaknesses, prey on their fears, and did very well out of it. And those people who don't prey on others, who actually try to protect them and guide them and help them in the best way that they know how, not traditionally a very favored position or powerful position, for that matter, because it's only for those people who want to hear the actual raw and honest truth.
Well, Bill O'Reilly is a good example. If people remember a couple of years ago, Bill O'Reilly was calling a doctor who was an abortion doctor, Tiller the baby killer. And he did it so much on television that somebody actually went to that office, that abortion clinic, and shot the doctor to death. And Bill O'Reilly has never been questioned or implemented or anything or implicated at all. And he's doing it again right now. He's out there. He actually said on his show a couple of days ago that he is going to destroy the Black Lives Matter movement. And he is calling them a hate group so often that he's having guests on almost every night talking about how it's a hate group. And that's absolutely ridiculous. Bill O'Reilly is a great example of what we're talking about, because people listen to Bill O'Reilly and they listen to his rhetoric for so long that they act upon it because they think that something should be done. And so Gerald Celente and all of the others are doing the exact same thing. They're out there saying, oh my God, economic collapse, global collapse, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, buy gold. Or, you know, I buy gold, maybe you should think about
it. It's so funny you said that, because I was just looking at one of the comment section on a place that I posted on Facebook, and one of the first comments is, buy silver.
Exactly.
It's completely
predictable.
And if
you're buying silver right now, it's down, by the way.
Okay, see, there you go. And we're getting implanted with this rhetoric, aren't we? And we're getting this kind of God complex going on. I was watching this debate between, I think it was Alex Jones and Noam Chomsky, and they were talking about how Chomsky's staff were all like, oh, you're going to speak with a god, Chomsky. But that exact same herd mentality, follower mentality, appeal to authority mentality still exists, even in people who think that they've completely woken up to the New World Order and how complex it is and how infiltrated it is. I'm not saying these people are part of it, But once you know how it works, it depends on what you're going to do about it. Are you going to profit from the New World Order, knowing what you know? Or are you going to help people? Can't do both. You can't do both.
Anyone who has ever been in sales, and higher level sales, you know, like telemarketing, I know you've done that in your past. If you are not familiar with it, go on YouTube and look up NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Watch some of these guys like Jim Rohn or Zig Ziglar, Jordan Bencourt, who was the Wolf of Wall Street, was the movie after his life story. Watch these people talk. They pitch sales, and you'll hear that in media. You'll hear radio hosts talk that way. You'll hear that they say things specifically in a way that is designed to get you to react in a specific way, and that is usually for their profit. And the commercials are always perfectly timed to whatever, you know, they're talking about right before they go off air. And all of these things are designed specifically to get you to do something or to get you to think some way. But eventually it'll lead to an action. If it's an idea that they're selling you, they're going to ask you to rise up and do something. If they are selling a product, they're going to talk about how wonderful the product is. We also have native advertising, which is not just product placement in movies and in television and in music videos, but also in news articles. In news articles that look like any other article, they have source links. They're intermingled with all other news articles. You wouldn't be able to tell them apart, except for this tiny little print up at the top that says sponsored by GM or sponsored by Mountain Dew. And it's in such a tiny font that I would need glasses, and I've got perfect eyesight, but I would need glasses in order to see this. And that also happens on radio broadcasts. It happens all the time. In fact, we allow people to do that all the time. Somebody's got a book, somebody's got a movie, somebody's got a television show. They want to come on your show and they want to talk about it. Plus, you know, they want to chit chat and have a good time. That's an acceptable form of native advertising, but it is still advertising. You know, if at the end of the day, when you have Russell Brand and Alec Baldwin on Max Kaiser, which happened, I think, back in 2010, the two of them were talking about the plight of the working man and all this stuff. Neither of them have had a real job in decades, okay? And they probably had it so long ago that they don't remember what it's like to really work 9 to 5 for, you know, basically $9 an hour or less.
It's funny you should mention that, because I went around to see a couple of my mates the other night, and I asked them, so what have you guys been up to? Like, I hadn't seen them in a couple of weeks, and they're like, oh, nothing much. And I go, yeah, it's like that when you've got a real job, isn't it?
Exactly. So these two go on Max Kaiser, and after 20 minutes of talking about how, you know, there needs to be revolution and, oh, the plight of the working man and yada, 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 I'm an Irishman, I know what I'm talking about. Then they play the clips of the movie that they were just in, and they spend the next 10 minutes talking about the movie. The first 20 minutes was to get you sucked in. The last 10 minutes is to sell you the movie, because they're, you know, the studio and everybody's got to make their money back from the ticket sales. So if they can sell you on being empathetic to you, even though they live in a completely different world financially than you do, then you'll go see their movie. See, that's the idea. And how many of you went to go see that movie? That's because you fell for the marketing. It's the same exact thing that people, and I know we're harping on Gerald Celente right now, but it's the same thing that people like him do. Every once in a while, this information becomes big and there's a prediction and these people are all over the media. And it's because they probably put down a bet against what they're saying. So the next thing to do is to put out the call to their potential customers that they're going to need money because they just placed a bet against what they're saying. So in Celente's case, he bets against the dollar, and if it goes down, he wins. He bets against, or he purchases gold and silver futures. So the more people that buy those precious metals, he wins. And that's how that works. And so I guess when they're broke and they need a little bit of extra cash, they make a prediction and go out into the stratosphere and start rallying up the troops.
Get so many different people getting in on this bandwagon. Almost everybody I know has been talking about this upcoming September economic crisis, and I stopped worrying about people's end of the worlds and this crisis and that crisis a while ago. I can't remember exactly when I gave up caring about the end of the world, politics and media and things like that. Oh God, is some planet's going to come kill us? Oh no, it's the sun that's going to cook us in our seats. No, no, it's some economic crisis. Oh no, it's the swine flu. Oh no, it's the sarin gas. Oh no, it's terrorism. For goodness sake, the alternative media, just as well as the mainstream media, have just as big an incentive to keep you in a state of uninformed fear as anybody else. Because uninformed, fearful people aren't stringent with their money, because they're afraid that they'll just have nothing left tomorrow. Why not just buy all that stuff today? You know? That's what I'm talking about when I say predatory. There's a reason I left sales, because I couldn't do it. Not because I was misusing my power of salesmanship or anything like that, but because I saw other people doing it and not getting pulled up about it, not being disciplined. It was permissible to manipulate and lie to people. I don't think that's cool, bro, especially if there's money involved, because it's an inherently corrupting process. And aren't we in this whole gig in the first effing place to stop corruption? To expose scumbaggery?
That's what I thought. I quickly realized that it's a business. And along with the gold and silver, the survival industry has done very well over the last 15 years, including skyrocketing just recently in the last 5 years. So you've got two industries that are flourishing. And you've got, Donald Trump, who is regurgitating a lot of rhetoric that conservative Christians who listen to alternative media hear every single day. And there's a huge combination of scariness, not just with the manipulating people to buy products that they don't need and can't afford so someone else can have a big retirement fund, but also maybe we're deciding our presidency on this rhetoric that pretty much is bogus.
Well, isn't that how presidents get decided anyway? You know, it's like, hey, have we got some bogus rhetoric? Oh, mate, he's going to go far. He's going to get all the way to the primaries. Ah, the inauguration. There we go, sweet ass. Oh, nice. See, I don't know. Being cynical is a must. You know, it's not just like a way of life. It's the only way of life, man, because there's so many cynical scumbags out there that are trying to manipulate you almost at all times, you know? I'm not saying like Gerald Celente's a scumbag or anything like that. I think it's kind of like a conflict of interest trying to tell people the truth and then profiting off it.
I don't think it's the truth. None of these things have happened. And it's ridiculous that they keep getting regurgitated. And it's also ridiculous that the people listening to these people don't call them out and stop listening.
Well,
because it's obviously not true.
Well, the thing is, I had that exact same conflict in my mind. Okay, you call me, you tell me you want to do this bit on Gerald Celente, you tell me this information, and I'm like, well, just did a quick scan. Who's reckless enough to do something like this? Nobody. You know, it was just this silence in my head of like, nobody but me is stupid and reckless enough to do a story like this with you. You know, and so what happens is we wind up actually speaking for all the people who would have wanted to but just aren't reckless enough to do it, you know. For example, I just got a comment here by a guy named Victor. Thank you for posting that, Vinny. I'm so glad to see someone else saying what I've been thinking for the last 6 or so years.
See, this is why it's so important. That's the other reason. There are lots of people who think they've been duped, but they're afraid to think that or afraid to say anything because everyone else around them thinks the same thing. And what if they have a moment of rational, logical thought amidst all of this stupidness? That's why this video is so important. Just go take a look. It makes perfect sense, and it's all true. And it's Gerald Celente's words. He bets against the U.S. dollar. And he purchases gold and silver futures. He has his money in Swiss francs and Canadian dollars. And this is his retirement fund. This is how he plans on paying for the last couple of years of his life. Off of you.
Well, I think we should probably read this one out. I mean, I don't know if we can do it the proper rehearsal way, or if you want to read it, or I'll read it, or something. Or
oh, let's play the clip. It's awesome.
Can we do that? Do you have the ability to play that through? I don't think the studio.
Oh, no, I don't think I can play it through.
No. The all studio right. can't either. So, you know, we're Shiite Muslim out of luck at that point, isn't it?
yeah, let's read it.
Yeah. All right. We'll see when you... Gerald Celente bets against the US dollar and uses ETF, that's exchange traded fund, to buy the futures on gold and silver. What's a future? It's a bet. A very simple gamble. He predicts what he thinks the future value is going to be, and then simultaneously he bets against the US dollar. He then comes out in the alternative media and starts talking about an imminent economic collapse, and he predicts these semi-regularly. For example, in 2009, Celente claimed the world economy was going to collapse by February, which it never happened. Then in 2010, he said the flash crash was the white shoe boys preparing to collapse the global economy. And nothing happened. What actually happened was the frequency trading algorithms caused the stock market servers to crash, and we know this because some traders were arrested for doing it and the Knight Capital hedge fund was outed in the process. But because Celente didn't tell people this, it caused a panic that he just so happens to be able to profit from. He's bound by FTC rules and regulations on what he can and can't say, so he can't tell you buy gold. But he can tell you gold might be a good investment, and that's what I've put my money into. This generates, via his media circuit presence, a rather enormous listener base of potential customers, most of which don't have much money to spare and could not really afford to buy so much gold if there wasn't actually an imminent end of the world as we know it, economic collapse. But seeing as his trades are private, there's no way to prove it. However, because he bets against the dollar while purchasing gold and silver futures, we can deduce his intentions easily. And that is to make a guaranteed profit. If A, the dollar value drops, he makes money by betting against it. And B, if it doesn't, people buy gold and silver and he profits anyway. It is also reasonable to assume that alternative media outlets that have interests in precious metals, such as Ted Anderson's GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network, which is wholly owned by Midas Resources, a gold brokerage company. Gerald Celente has stated that this is his retirement fund. And now, because of the Chinese stock market situation, a number of people have bought into the hype of a September collapse. Just think about this for a moment. Is it a real global market meltdown about to happen? Or is it just another ploy so some people can make a lot of money for their retirement?
Exactly. Think about that just for a second. And if it's okay with you, then buy the gold, buy the silver. Go ahead and be afraid. But I don't think it's true. Based on his track record of predictions, I don't think it's true.
Yeah, it's... Well, again, we can't actually prove whether or not he's making these trades because they're private.
Right? No, we only go by his words. In an interview in 2010, he stated exactly what his portfolio is, where he has his money, where he has his liquid cash, and where he has his other stocks and bonds. And I would have to say that he, coming out of his mouth, it's probably what he, it's either true or what he wants people to believe, but he has to stand by what he says, doesn't he?
Well, you know, be nice to ask him the questions and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. It would be lovely. Mm. Gerald Celente, if you're listening, I would love to have you on my show, Hardline. I have some questions for you. Or come on Vinny Eastwood's show.
Yeah, well, my show's not really like that, bro. Like, you know, I like to be more jovial and happy and friendly. Although, you know, maybe there is a need to you know, occasionally have a show that's a little bit more aggressive, you know, a little bit more confrontational. I don't know.
I don't think there's a need for confrontation. I mean, you could just read him some questions and let him answer. I mean, the answers are all telling. You just have to let people speak sometimes, and they'll tell you exactly who they are.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. Asking questions of the Prime Sinister, John Key, is you don't know anything about the guy from asking questions to him. He doesn't even answer them. And that's problematic. I mean, you get from that a general impression that they're a liar and they're dodging stuff and they've got something to hide, but you don't know exactly what's going on. Just that there's something that's up.
Well, that's true. You know, by FCC or FTC rules, he's not allowed to say certain things because he's in that industry and he does have insider information, especially because he's trading gold and silver futures, which is a bet on what it's going to be in the future. He would have an influence on the market if he came out and said, oh my God, there's a collapse coming. It's going to be at the end of the year. It's going to be in September. It's going to be whenever it is. And what's interesting to me is he doesn't cross those lines necessarily on what he can't say. It's what he says. The fact that he comes out periodically and makes these predictions, nothing happens except a lot of gold and silver and other choice survival industry commodities are purchased and sold and traded. And I don't think that that's just a coinkydink. I think that's how this industry makes their money. And I think it's ridiculous to make a living off of the backs of the people who trust you and are listening to you because they've been told that the mainstream is lying to them. So where else do they have to go? And you seem to be the biggest thing in alternative, so I must trust you because the biggest thing in mainstream was always the biggest thing, and that's what I'm used to. So I'm going to go look over here and trust everything that I'm saying because, you know, everybody has the documents. Well, they don't realize that they are being catfished. They are being suckered into purchasing things that aren't going to save them from anything because nothing's going to happen. And unfortunately, when things do happen, they happen so infrequently that it's almost like you have to wait a decade or more for something, even a hiccup to happen, like the flash crash in 2010, which was caused by high-frequency trading, which is artificial intelligence algorithms. And it's simply that each brokerage firm has their own individual algorithms, plus the New York Stock Exchange allows people to sit on their servers. You can pay anywhere between a couple $1,000s to maybe $60,000 or $70,000, and you can have a seat on the New York Stock Exchange server. As a brokerage firm, that's incredible because you get the information first. Everyone else down the line has to wait a couple of seconds, and when you're trading, a second is an infinite amount of time. So they've set up these algorithms to get ahead of themselves. Well, everyone's trying to get ahead of themselves all at the same time. And sometimes things melt down and sometimes things crash. But when they do that, instead of coming out and being honest about what's happening, people like Gerald Celente come out and say, oh my God, it's them preparing, it's a beta test, and they're going to collapse the system really quickly. These are all the signs we've been telling you for decades. Buy gold. Buy MREs. Buy a water filter.
Buy silver.
By silver. Yeah. It's a sales pitch. It's one of the most rudimentary forms of pitching a sale.
By body armor.
Yes, exactly.
By semi-automatic.
A life straw.
By semi-automatic weapons.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Buy a fake TV.
The whole thing in the United States with the bullets. This was absolutely ridiculous. What people don't understand is when the U.S. government makes a bid and someone signs the contract, that's usually for an extended period of time, like 5 to 10 years. So they might ask for 2.8 million rounds of whatever bullet, but that is going to be serviced over a 10-year period. It's not instantaneous. Now, what happened with that is the NRA simultaneously and, you know, other gun enthusiasts told everyone to buy bullets. So what happened was the manufacturers, while they're fulfilling other contracts, because they do have other contracts, not just with the government, but with lots of other people. And as they're filling those contracts, they've got for retail X amount set aside that they're going to send to Walmart or any of the other places where you buy bullets. And they can't fill those orders because there are so many people purchasing them at the same time that they're filling other orders. So the amount they have set aside starts to dwindle. And corporations are going to go with the biggest contract. So whatever contract is making them the most money, and it's certainly not retail sales, then they're going to fill those orders first. So everyone purchasing these bullets and the orders being filled caused the shortage. It was a self-serving prophecy. But what it did was it made the NRA lots and lots of money because the manufacturers of guns and bullets happened to donate large amounts of cash to the NRA. So it works out in both favors. The bullet manufacturers and the gun manufacturers make lots of money ahead of these huge contracts that they're filling. And the stores also make tons of cash, even though they have to turn away customers at some point. They still make a ton of money in the interim. And the NRA is assured millions of dollars in donations in the future because these companies just made a killing. And I don't understand why people don't see through that.
Exactly, which reminds me, donate to the Vinnie Eastwood show, everybody. Continue to Suzanne.
But looking at these collapses and looking at these, run for guns and run for bullets, and oh my God, everybody's leaving America, right? So nobody's left America. One guy left America in 2012. One celebrity left America, James Cameron. Nobody's leaving. Everybody's here. In fact, they just had the MTV Awards and they were all there in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So.
One of my listeners asked me once, how expensive is farmland in New Zealand? And I said, well, let me put it like this. There's only two people who can afford it. One of them's James Cameron, and the other one's a giant Chinese conglomerate.
People have to realize that an industry is an industry, and an industry is supported by the ability for it to sell products and make a profit. And this industry, the alternative media, is no different than the mainstream media as far as industry goes. It has its celebrities, it has its experts, it has its products, and it has its news articles that it writes and topics that it talks about to sell those products to you, just like in mainstream. When you look at them, side by side, I don't see really much of a difference, except in both sides, every once in a while, there's a few people who are really taking it seriously. There are wonderful journalists in mainstream media who are putting out incredible stuff. And there are wonderful people in alternative media who are putting out incredible stuff. But if you've got to like sift through a mountain of garbage to get to this one little thing, people get exhausted. They don't, they bother, they don't keep trying, they give up. And nobody hears those voices. They think that whatever's happening in alternative media is the absolute truth, and they don't hear that there are opposing views that have evidence backing them that show that this perspective that you've been fed just isn't true. And the part of it that is true, the part of it that is true is the part of it that you can actually do something about. But they don't want you to know that. Because if you did something about it, they would be out of business. And that's how they pay their rent. That's how they pay for their whole operation. And they certainly don't want to go to, what they do today to, maybe working at McDonald's or something. So they're going to keep going. It's not advantageous for anyone to change anything. It's not advantageous for us to actually stop the New World Order, right? It's not advantageous for us to stop police brutality or corruption in politics or lies in media. There's no advantage to that because on both sides, there's an industry that is pumping massive amounts of cash, millions and millions of dollars every single year. Billions of dollars. I mean, the alternative media alone is, I think, a $5 or $6 billion annual industry. That's a lot of money that's going through lots of different hands. And nobody has the incentive to stop because a lot of them have purchased homes and cars and gadgets and lifestyles that would not be afforded on their audience's salary. So there's a real big problem. There is no truth. There is no getting to any truth. There is simply, which rhetoric do you believe, and how much are you willing to pay for it?
Are you willing to pay for it at all? On the Vinnie Eastwood show, you get your rhetoric for free, and you actually get to make a choice about whether or not you want to pay for it, right? And you're guaranteed to not get anything in return. That's called building in a backstop, because there's no way that the profit incentive could actually work for me with this kind of business model, could it? You just keep doing what you have to do. You tell the truth that needs to be said, regardless of how popular it is, and you continue to survive simply because of that, and it's the only way to work it.
Well, there are really good people, like I said, on both sides that are doing wonderful things, and they should be supported in any way possible because they are the voice that is the real alternative. It is the what the truth movement intended to be. They are people who are actually talking about the real issues, getting to the heart of the matter. I mean, just take Chris Christie. The other day, I think it was over the weekend actually. Chris Christie was talking to some future constituents, and he said that immigration is so horrible that he wants to employ FedEx. He wants to employ the CEO, Fred Smith, to go to the Immigration Enforcement Agency and teach them how FedEx tracks packages, and we can track people with visas just like FedEx tracks packages. And I thought to myself, what a stupid thing for this guy to say. Why would he say something dumb like that? That sounds like a sales pitch. And guess what? It is. Not only has Fred Smith donated to him, but Fred Smith's daughter works on his presidential campaign. So there you go. Even in the midst of a presidential bid to be the GOP nominee, this man and many others just like him find a way to pitch a sale and get you to think about FedEx for your next packaging purposes. It's ridiculous what goes on. But it happens right in your face, and you don't notice it. You think, ah, oh, ha, ha, that's funny. That's a great idea. No, he's talking about putting a CEO of a company into our government. Donald Trump is saying the same thing. What would his cabinet be? He would like to put CEOs of companies into the executive cabinet. Well, for anybody who doesn't know, in the United States, the executive cabinet is made up of the head of the DOJ, the DHS, Department of Health and Human Services, all of these, the FDA, all of these agencies, these bureaucracies that we have, are all headed by people who sit down every day with Obama or whoever the president is at the time and discuss what their agency is going to do for that day. You do not want that headed by a bunch of CEOs. What we're literally discussing is putting CEOs into not only the executive branch, but also the cabinet. And what that means is we've been talking lots and lots about how the United States is a corporation, and we've been talking lots and lots about puppets that they pay to sit in the presidency and in Congress on Capitol Hill in both houses. But now we're literally talking about putting a CEO into that seat with his CEO buddies to run all of these sub-agencies and bureaucracies of our government. If that isn't insane, I don't know what is.
But the problem with insanity is that in order to comprehend it, you have to go a little bit mad. And also to go along with it. I like to kind of get it out of my life as much as I can. I say something that's maybe a little bit incendiary, but it's true. But somebody flips their lid and they start going real nuts at me. I'm just going to walk away from this one, bro. Excuse me. Excuse me. Oh, pardon me. You just walk out the door, you know? I'm really not up to dealing with crazy people, honestly. If they can't handle the truth, that's not my fault, and it certainly isn't my problem.
It's going to be everybody's problem here in the United States if we actually do this. Oh, and who else do we have? We have Ted Cruz. This is a man who wants to replace our entire U.S. Supreme Court with conservative Christians because voting biblical principles is all about what this country was founded on, right? Can I give everybody a little history lesson?
Please do.
All right, let's have a little history lesson. Okay, so the first successful colony in the United States was Jamestown, Virginia, owned by the Virginia Company. And they did a recruitment called the First Head Start, and they offered people 50 acres, and a proverbial mule. And because the mortality rate was like 20% in this country and people were dying left to right, nobody would come of their own volition. And so they offered all of this for in exchange for working the land for the company. And even Maryland was a sole proprietorship of a man named Cecil. A sole pr Maryland, the state of Maryland, originated as a sole proprietorship of this guy named Cecil, okay? So the Virginia Company expanded into what we know as the 13 colonies. Literally, a corporation started this entire country. And guess what? There were about 20 to 30,000 people who originally paid passage from the UK, from England to Norway, but the Norwegians were way too crazy for them. So they paid passage to get to America, and they landed in Massachusetts. They founded a town called Plymouth, and that was it. Those are the only Puritans and the only religious zealots that ever set foot originally on this soil. 20 to 30,000 people all the way up in Massachusetts in Plymouth. The rest of the colonies were at first colonized by employees of the Virginia Company, second indentured servants who, after 7 to 10 years, if they survived, they would get all of their back pay, which most of them didn't. And the Virginia Company, get this, and this is so, this happens every single day, even to this day. The Virginia Company decided that indentured servitude was just too costly because some people survived and they really did have to pay them all that back pay. So the first group of African slaves were brought onto this soil by the Virginia Company in 1681. And now we will come full circle by putting a CEO in the presidency.
I mean, seriously, it's like Soylent Green in slow motion. Any day now, there's gonna be some kind of riots and stuff like that. They're gonna bring out the scoops and people are gonna be growing crazy. I predict it'll probably be on the exact same day that they stop supplying all the pharmaceutical drugs to everybody who needs them to stay sane at the moment. Not because pharmaceutical drugs make you sane, but because crashing off them without any come down period of like a couple of years or something like that to get the junk out of your system will make you go insane. Quite likely.
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, for most people, when they are coming off the pharmaceuticals is when they are most at risk for homicide or suicide.
And then they go, "Oh, you should have kept taking your medication. If you hadn't started taking it in the first place, you might have survived."
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I know that sounds really cruel and really callous, but that's the problem with things being true, is that the truth doesn't care how you feel. It doesn't care what has happened to you. It doesn't care how badly you've suffered. It doesn't care at all. The truth is simply an inanimate thing, but it's an unfortunate thing that you cannot argue with. And I understand the pain and suffering that people are going through, and that being disillusioned to things is quite a shock, and it's quite nasty, really. It hurts you in your brain places, in your hope places. And these are very dangerous times, to be sure, as the fearmongers so rightly say. But just because things are dangerous, just because there's crises after crises going on, doesn't mean you have to lose your head. The most important tool in a survival situation is thinking. Don't lose your mind, just because things are frightening you. If you keep thinking, if you keep trying to find a way out, if you keep trying to work and figure situations out, you will probably survive. But if you are constantly going from one group of people who are leading you into oblivion to another group that want to lead you in the exact same direction, again and again, back and forth. Follow one person, now you get let down by them, you go follow another person. Maybe you should just stop following altogether. Maybe following people blindly without any suspicion whatsoever about their motives and modus operandi and history, track record. No suspicion of any kind is the very reason why we're in these perpetual crises to begin with. You know why? Because you've always been following all of the people who are talking about the crisis and the people who are creating the crisis and the people who are profiting off the crisis. Not people who are actually exposing what causes all of these things. That gives you a bit of a background or a bit of a deeper understanding that actually opens Pandora's box, chips fall where they may, and tells you how things really are. These people get hated throughout history, generally. I think it was Orwell who said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more people will hate those who speak it.
Absolutely. The main problem with everything is that we go from one set of media to another without thinking about who we are and what we want and what we stand for. We go from one opinionated piece to another opinionated piece that is just has a different website and has a slightly audacious name. But we don't walk away from being programmed by other people's opinions and what other people say. And we really do. We have this we have this internet. We really should use it. It's an incredible tool of information. Don't believe everything that you see, obviously, but there are places where you can corroborate people's information. And if you can't, then file that away as, yeah, that sounds sensational, but I'm not going to bet the house on it. I'm certainly not going to go out and buy a bunch of precious metal bullion.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, take note of that. And if I see some actual evidence of it, then maybe I'll act on it.
Yeah.
But they don't want that.
I've got three dresser drawers. The things that I'm not going to wear, the things that I might wear, and the things that I'm definitely going to wear. All right. And these are the things that you put into the I might wear them or whatever kind of drawer. Okay, add it into the possibility box. Somebody says economic crisis is coming. Hey, economic crises happen all the time. So, you know, this guy might be right 1 out of 100 times. It just means that 99% of the time you've got to ignore everything he says. Based on a track record. All right.
Well, what that proves is that by chance, here's a good way to measure things. If the person is right as often as they would be by chance, then they're not predicting anything. They just end up hitting it because they make so many predictions out of, let's say, 1 out of every 100, they're going to hit it. You can take those odds to Vegas, but it doesn't mean that the person you're listening to is any more righteous than any of those casinos in Vegas. The house always wins.
And it's the same thing with the government, isn't it? The house always wins. People always lose. Taxes always get come up. I don't know. It's sort of like I remember the economic crisis in China recently. And then only a day or two later, it comes out in the news, hey, the economic crisis in China has been alleviated because a whole bunch of predatory vulture capitalists came in and sunk a whole bunch of money into the market. And we're like, oh, well, isn't that nice? I'm sure everything's going to be really rosy from now on, that vulture capitalists own everything, because every time everybody winds up crashing their economy and losing all the value of their money and their dollars and their assets and their resources and things of that nature, a bunch of predatory scum with more money than God can swoop in and snatch it all up for pennies on the dollar. This sounds like really good economic sense. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, no. China is going to have a collapse. No, they're going into a recession. They are going to do that. In the next 10 years, they are going to see a recession. They're setting it up for it right now. They're setting up the infrastructure, the interest rates. They want people to buy into infrastructure. They want to build stuff up. They want to build up economies in the form of building buildings and building roads and having businesses come in and setting up shop in places. Absolutely, they're going to do that. And what it's going to do is cause a bubble. For the people of China, they're not really going to see a big difference because they already live in abject poverty for the most part. But the people who don't and the people who are invested, yeah, they're going to take a hit. But that's all we're seeing right now. In fact, what the government of China did, put $2 trillion back into America's hands. So, yeah, I bet you didn't hear that, right? Nobody heard that part. Yeah, $2 trillion went right back into the U.S. hands. Because the government responded the way that they did and got rid of those vulture capitalists and put restrictions in and set this up for interest rates to spur growth and consumerism.
How interesting. Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Buy gold.
Buy silver. Donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Yeah. You know, I wish things weren't unkind. I wish everybody was honest. And that you didn't actually have to expose scumbaggery. Like, if everybody took personal responsibility in their own life every time they see some kind of scumbaggery, they actually do something about it. Scumbaggery Day would be very, very limited in number, right? Anybody. But the thing about it is, fear keeps people in line. People go, oh, well, how could there possibly be a global conspiracy with ruthless criminal sociopaths that have all banded together with their money and their resources and their militaries and their political influence? Well, you know how the mafia exists, right? Because it's pretty much official. It used to be a conspiracy theory and now it's admitted that there is organized crime. You know how they use front men, consiglieres and things like that so that the boss never actually attends the meeting, but he still runs everything from afar and can't be arrested for it because he was never there, right? So how do you think that it's possible for organized crime to run, but it's not possible for people who are really well organized to run a crime syndicate, like a government, or like the United Nations, or like Goldman Sachs, okay? Mafioso mentality, I think I'll dub it, is something that has enabled the world to turn into a black hole that sucks in all the resources and funnels it into an abyss. And that's what these people do. That's what these corporations do. That's what the government's doing. They are specifically there to feed off and destroy human activity, wealth, progress, intelligence, love, creativity, all of these things that would make our lives better, that would make us better. They are the antithesis to. And you cannot continue to live in a world where you don't realize that fact. And you don't realize that there are people who sound like you, who look like you, who are saying things that you want to hear, who are just doing it for the money, just doing it for the power, just doing it for the influence, just doing it for themselves. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being a sci-fi Rastafarian, and by that, I mean feeling da dread. Now, my very special guest is still Suzanne Posel. God, that was a terrible joke. Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. And we've been talking a lot about this. And ultimately, somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to expose the scumbaggery within the truth movement. Okay? Like, just understand that because you used to live as a slave, as slave scum, and you used to believe all the establishment lies and everything like that, doesn't mean because you suddenly don't believe them that you know what the truth is now. And you know who the truthers are, the real truthers, the people who aren't compromised, okay? It's not that easy to figure out, because there's a lot of ways to manipulate you that you might not even know exist. And it happens all the time, and you see it, and you see these liars and scoundrels and psychopaths and megalomaniacs rising through the ranks, getting the recognition and attention. And you sit back and you just do your part, ultimately. You know that the truth's never actually going to be popular, don't you? I mean, what in your life has taught you that being completely honest gains you a lot of friends and a lot of support? You know, it's the exact opposite, isn't it? You start being too blunt with people, You start being too straight. They pull their advertising. They stop donating or that kind of thing. You say anything that they don't like, that they can't back up their opinion with facts that contradicts yours, they start to find other ways to argue with you that don't involve arguing at all. They involve punishing you and ignoring you.
Oh, yeah. But I'm self-funded, so I will go home and take my toys with me when I'm ready to. I'll fire myself someday, you know, maybe in about 30 or 40 years. I plan on living that long.
Oh, no, but we're all going to die in September from the economic crisis, Suzanne.
Oh, my God, wait a minute. There's an asteroid coming. We're all going to die from the asteroid.
You're just a shill and an apologist for the New World Order. You know?
There are real things that we can do something about, you know, like the other day we're talking about fakery and the truth movement. The other day, somebody sent me a video from Anthony Garducci about how to read the labels so that you know that your product is GMO or not, because you can't trust the labeling. Well, the reason why you can't trust the labeling is because Monsanto and the biotech industry wrote on the state level a lot of the labeling laws. And on the federal level, they're trying to get the FDA to pass their own set of rules. So what they're doing is they have a bunch of senators pressuring the FDA right now to get these set of rules passed with labeling. And they're voluntary, which means you don't have to participate. And there's no penalization if you don't participate. So it's a nothing. It's a lose-lose for everyone. So for Anthony to explain to his audience how to read the labels, he should have made a video about how to ban GMO from our food supply. Lots of other countries have done it. Why aren't we? Why aren't people in the truth movement pushing that angle instead of selling people on the idea, hey, we can compromise and we'll just have it labeled and you'll just learn how to read the labels? No, I want to know that when I buy food, that it's food. And I don't want to have to question it. I don't want to have to learn how to read a label. I want to buy food. Help me do that.
Saw a Facebook picture the other day that had a package of what they call sandwich slices, and they look like cheese slices, but you can't find the word cheese anywhere on the packet because it's not.
Right. Why do you have to go through that? Nobody wants to be in the grocery store any longer than you have to be, and no one wants to stand in line at the grocery store. So let's get rid of the idea of labeling, and let's all go for the banning of genetically modified organisms in all of our food, not just the produce and the vegetables, but also the processed food. Let's just go for that. No. It's more of a long-winded, kicking down the can idea. And lots of people can still make money off of the GMO debacle because it's going on. Because the labeling is not going to work. And it's voluntary if it goes federal. And that trumps all of the state laws. So anything, any headway that's happening in the states goes down the toilet as soon as the federal government decides what they're going to do.
Unless the states manages to muster up the amount of military power they need in order to secede from the Union by themselves.
Well, those 14 states, if they would like to go ahead and secede again, I'm sure that nobody would miss them.
Yeah. Let's hope
there's lots of stupidity going on down there.
Yeah, well, let's hope they secede.
That would be wonderful. You know, in Kentucky, we've got Kim Davis, who I've been talking about on my show incessantly, unfortunately.
Speaking of Kentucky, a great joke about this. You know where the toothbrush was invented? It was in Kentucky. You know why? Because if it were invented anywhere else, it would have been called a teeth brush.
Ah, yeah, that's probably... That makes a lot of sense. It really does. So we've got this woman, Kim Davis. She was elected. She is paid a salary by the taxpayers of Rowan County in Kentucky. And she has made the decision that because she's a Christian, she can't issue marriages to homosexual same-sex couples. So she's not going to issue any marriage licenses at all. Even though a year ago she issued a license to a transgender couple, and during the processing, she told the clerks not to look at the original birth certificate of the husband because it still listed him as female. Now, this is kind of confusing to me, but I looked into Kim Davis because I wanted to understand, how do you get to that level of batshit crazy? Well, it just so happens that she's a new Christian. She became a Christian in 2011. And she is part of a church that is they believe in end times, and they believe in, like raining down of fire and brimstone. And they are situated in a cinder block building just at the line, at the Kentucky state line, next to a casino and a gas station. Okay, and she went to this church because her dying mother-in-law told her, "I would like you to go to church." So after she was, well, during the process of grieving her mother-in-law's death, she decided to go to this church. And of course, she was sucked right in. Why? Because she was in a state of vulnerability. And now she picks and chooses which laws of her Bible she would like to enact. Like I said, she married a transgender couple, but she has a problem with same-sex couples. Now, what's interesting to me is the woman's been divorced three times. According to John 8:5, she should be stoned to death. But she has a moral high ground, and she says anything that happened before 2011 when I became a Christian, then that was just the old me. Now it's the new me. And you can't judge what I did because now I'm born again. I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Absolute hypocrisy and lunacy. The fact of the matter is, Kim Davis was elected and is paid $70,000 a year by the taxpayers of Rowan County to do a job. And part of that job is to issue marriage licenses. And she's not doing her job. I think she should be impeached. And I think that she should have to pay back the people of Rowan County all of the money that she has been incurring since she made this decision, because she's not doing her job. And they should put somebody in there who will do their job. Nobody's saying that she can't be a Christian. Nobody's saying that she can't pray when she's on the job. Nobody's saying that she can't, enact her Christian beliefs. But when she clocks in, she's a civil servant of Rowan County. And the people of Rowan County deserve someone who they pay money to do their job. And they don't have that right now.
Do any of us?
Well, no.
As far as I know, the
But.
only people doing their job are the activists, and as far as I know, they're all broke-ass motherfuckers. And they still get the job done.
Sometimes they do. At least if you're going to interject things into the public discourse, right?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's really weird because I don't know exactly where I stand on so many issues, and that's why I cover so many of them on my show, because I don't know that much about them, and I want to interview somebody who does know about one particular issue, or at least says that they do. You know? I wonder what's happened to curiosity just in general, right? Now, is it fear? You notice whenever you bring up certain topics, race or corruption in the truth movement, or sexuality or religion and things like that, this little chill goes up everybody's spine. Even now, just the mention of the words, just the little, oh, what's he going to say next? Is he going to say a racial slur? Is he going to slag off homosexuals? Is he going to make fun of my God, my religion, my way of life, or something like that? See? I think the reason why these issues are so bad is because we prefer to have emotional reactions when people question our deeply held beliefs rather than intellectualizing them and just going, okay, my belief's very important to me. This person's saying something contradictory to them. Now, I'm going to choose to bite my tongue until he's finished speaking. I'm going to wait it out and I'm going to see. And then I'm going to do a little bit of looking, maybe a little bit of digging. How important's my belief to me? How much do I really want to defend it? And am I going to be honest with myself when I go out there and start looking for the evidence that backs up my belief and contradicts theirs, and I don't find it, and I find I've been wrong all these years? Do I get angry at the person? Do I start calling them names? Or do I thank them for helping me stop this long period of time by which I was living a lie?
I think most people Well, most people want to think of themselves in a most positive light. They think, oh, that's what other people do, but I don't do that. I'm not bigoted. I'm not racist. I'm not prejudiced. I love all people. But pay attention to what you do or what your first instinct is. And it's not like you have to verbalize it, but get to know yourself, get to know the programming. Get to know what you have a propensity toward, and if that's something you agree with, or if it's a knee-jerk reaction that you've been programmed to have. And the best part about that is, if you pay attention to yourself, you can find ways to change the behaviors that you don't particularly like. That's called maturing. We were supposed to do that as we grow up. But somewhere along the lines, we got sucked into this fad or that fad, and or this idea, or our parents thought this way, and we think that we should think that way. But we're all individuals, and society is malleable over time. I mean, look at the differences in generations. You can have an explosion of ideology within a decade, just one generation later. Look at the boomers from the Silent Generation. Silent Generation were repressed, and it was a very Catholic time, and people didn't get divorced, and even if you were beaten at home, you didn't say anything about it. And if you got pregnant out of wedlock, you disappeared for a little while and then came back and without a baby, and everything was fine. Now the 60s happened, and then everyone was, I'm exaggerating, but in Haight-Ashbury, it was almost like having sex on the streets. Everybody was doing it, and there was an explosion of ideology that shaped into what Gen X has interpolated and Millennials are now coming full circle, being as much of an activist generation as their boomer grandparents were. And it's obviously different things, but they all remain the same. We don't like to be repressed. We like to have individuality, but we also like to belong to a group, and we like to feel like we're part of something bigger than who we are. And if we don't have that, we feel like we're not contributing and our life is meaningless. And we can replicate that on the small end. We could be the hero of our children and we could be the hero of our town or our community. But some people want to be the hero of the nation or hero of the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to not get sucked into your brand of doing what you do becomes a commodity that's sellable and able to be repackaged and put up with, flashy new lights, and you dress up in different clothes and you brush your hair a different way. You have different theme music, but all of a sudden, what comes out is pre-scripted and premeditated to sell certain products. So now what you do, what you originally intended to do, has now become something that's sellable and it's lost its meaning.
All the superhero movies that you see, like the time where the superhero gets his most power is when he realizes who he really is, and that all his power comes from within. Is somebody encouraging you to do that? Because there's no way that I'll be able to actually gain really any benefit from you suddenly living your life better because a few things I told you actually helped you to find your own path in life and benefit yourself in your own way. There's no way I can benefit from that. If I, however, tell you that this product that I'm selling you is going to give you that benefit, then I do profit from it. You see what I'm saying? One is taking energy from you and getting money in exchange, and energy is just a form of money is just a form of energy transfer anyway. And the other one implants power into you that is yours and is given for free and can grow as much as you nourish it. That's the difference between trying to just fill up the airwaves with ads just to sell your shit and try to fill your head with ideas so that maybe something will just click with you and you'll stop listening to the radio show and you'll start living your life. All right, that's the ultimate thing that you can do for a radio show host, in my opinion, is not to follow their show but to follow their example and do your own thing.
Yeah, we need more chiefs and less Indians. We need more people who maybe you got touched by something and maybe something happened to you. And maybe, to go to a grandiose example, maybe your child was injured by vaccines. that would be something great to stand up for, because you know there are 42 million children in the United States who are potentially being vaccinated. That would be a great cause. If it happened to you, make sure it never happens again to someone else. That's how we get things done, at least in the United States. Black Lives Matter, going back to Bill O'Reilly, that's important. They do matter. We in this country, we think that black lives don't matter because they only make up 14% of the country, and yet two-thirds of them are murdered by cops unarmed. So that's grossly disproportionate. So we don't think as a whole, as a country, that black lives matter. And we should, because everybody's life matters. It's not that all lives matter. Yeah, duh, all lives do matter. We don't think in this country that black lives matter to the extent that they have to set up a hashtag and say, guess what? We do matter, and bring attention to that. And what? It wasn't that long ago that we had Selma, that we had Martin Luther King. It was a generation ago. My mother remembered that. And yet today, we have to have these marches and these protests. Nothing really has changed, and that's the problem. You know, like with Dylann Roof, automatically every politician goes to gun control, and everybody says, see, I told you it was a false flag, and they just wanted to set up gun control. No, you're missing the point. Dylann Roof would have killed those people with whatever he could have gotten his hands on. In the state that he lived in, there were 19 different factions of the KKK-like organizations. He frequented a group called the League of the South, who happens to also have been part of the Truth Movement. And Dylann Roof would have killed those nine people with whatever he could have gotten his hands on. He happened to be able to get a hold of a gun. It's not gun control, because Dylann Roof would have done it anyway. It's the racist mindset of this country that causes people to disproportionately be killed. And that is the real problem. We have groups here in the United States who think that it's okay, well, it's not okay for the government to throw people in FEMA camps, right? Because they'll set up lists and they're going to throw you in the FEMA camp. Meanwhile, these people are calling for lists of people who are considered fascists, people who are considered Muslims, people who are considered anti-American, so they can be rounded up and sent into internment camps. And those people are following the soldiers right now in Texas, the Jade Helm soldiers. This is a group called Counter Jade Helm. And one of the co-leaders of this organization is telling his audience that they need to set up, they need to look around their neighborhoods and write down names, addresses, and phone numbers of people who can be rounded up after they take over. So the same people who are claiming that the government is going to round you up and take over are setting up networks of data so that they can round people up and take over. And we have to pay attention to that. We can't just brush that aside.
That's not
It's one of
Voldemort,
the
is it?
oldest tricks in the book.
That wasn't Voldemort that was saying that, was it?
No, it wasn't Voldemort. This is a group called Counter Jade Helm. They started their organization as soon as the soldiers got to Texas, and they have been following them. They radio back all of the positions and everything. And then I think it was in Mississippi. Anonymous shots were fired at Jade Helm soldiers while they were performing their exercises for 2 days in a row. I think that. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gasping, you know, exasperating the stupidity of it. They're doing a Jade Helm operation. Hey, it's a good idea. Let's fire upon U.S. soldiers.
Yes.
Oh my
Because if it
God.
goes live, then they win. They had a self-serving prophecy. It's not happening. Look, Jade Helm is about to conclude, folks. And guess what? There's no martial law here in the United States.
Yep.
Like I said, they have to do something to cause it to, if they can make it go live, even in the last few days of Jade Helm, they will try to do it.
You know what
Because.
it makes me laugh the most is the fact that none of the soldiers have actually been killed yet. Like these stupid, crazy people going out there with their guns trying to shoot the Jade Helm's soldiers are such poor marksmen that they've been shooting at them for weeks and haven't killed one of them.
Oh, you know what? Something like that actually happened. Okay,
Oh
so you've
no.
got the
Oh
guy.
no, it gets better then.
It does get better. Yeah, these are the guys with the guns, okay? So three guys who are armed to the teeth of US veterans, blah, 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 started walking around the perimeter of the Florida gun supply shop because they said that their shop is a Muslim-free zone. So no one who is Muslim can come into, they can't even walk into the store. They definitely cannot buy anything. They can't attend any classes.
What the
Oh,
hell,
yeah.
man?
Christians.
Ugh.
So these three guys are walking around the perimeter, and this was actually caught in photographs. One guy, he's showing the other guy his gun, then he drops it and shoots himself in the arm. And they blamed it on a malfunction of the gun. No, these idiots are securing the perimeter and they're dropping their guns and shooting themselves in the arm. I don't want that guy securing any perimeter. I want that guy to go home and maybe have a psych eval.
I mean, man, I wouldn't even trust that man to secure my beer. I
No,
mean,
I wouldn't want that guy near anything.
you know, he shouldn't be around people. It's just like some people just shouldn't be around people. Yeah, we're veterans, we're veterans. Really? So you went overseas and you killed a whole bunch of people to serve ruthless criminal sociopathic corporations, right? And you didn't get any dishonorable discharge or anything like that. They just let you back on the streets, gave you your psych drugs and that kind of thing, and didn't really give you any proper follow psychological evaluation to see how much that stuff traumatized you and started to make you a little bit crazy because you see everybody as the enemy now, even though you're in the streets with no weapons, no guns, no nothing. Never going on here? Well, you know, bro, you know what would be a good thing to, for you to do? Camp outside gun shops and say that Muslims can't come in. I mean, you know, I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? It sounds like a perfectly reasonable deal. Again, I can't see what could possibly go wrong.
Unless they shoot themselves in the arm.
I mean, look, there's a reason why people go on about firearm safety. It's because if you don't know it, firearms become really, really dangerous all of a sudden. They're already reasonably dangerous in the but they're only really incredibly dangerous in the wrong hands.
Right, but you can't say that to an American. Because Americans have been convinced that even though the Second Amendment says you have the right to bear arms, if you're part of a militia, by the way, they think that any gun that is manufactured by any gun manufacturer, they have the right to buy. And I'm sorry, but there's no reason why you need a semi-automatic weapon to kill a deer. Oh, but it's to protect me from the government. Nobody has ever come for your guns. So, what is your deal? Now, we know from past history, just recent past history, that people who have been on massive pharmaceuticals have purchased guns, legally purchased guns. The gentleman who just shot those two reporters, he was adjudicated by a court a couple of years earlier as mentally incompetent, and yet he got a gun. And then he shot the reporter and her cameraman.
And it wasn't even the black guy, bro. Did you see the video from his camera angle with and his hand comes up and it's like a totally a white guy's hand?
What's interesting to me is that people say we can't have any gun restrictions. Really? Seriously? You want anyone and everyone, the no gun restrictions at all? Really? There aren't some people that shouldn't maybe have a gun? Seriously? Like, we can go back in history and look at people who have just killed a couple of people who have killed lots of people, serial killers. None of them needed to maybe
It's like
some, you know, be evaluated.
serial killer walks into a gun shop. Can I have a gun, please? You go, give us your just a background check on you, just a second here. Do do do. Shh, scan your thing. Okay, it turns out you're a previously convicted serial killer. Serve 10 years, and you come out. Sorry, bro, can't sell your gun. Actually, too big of a risk of you using it to serially kill people. You know,
I mean, Son of Sam.
And it was like, my rights are being violated. My rights as an ex-serial killer. Well, what about the right of all the other people that you've killed that are, and all their families and everything like that, that are now walking around with a chunk taken out of their life? What right did you have to cause that pain to them that was perpetual? All right. So you take away a whole lot of people's rights, including their right to life and what have you. There's going to be a few of your rights that go away with it and probably go away permanently.
Well, the idea is, oh, my God, I going back to Florida Gun Supply, the owner of Florida Gun Supply said that it was an affront that they were attacking the Confederate flag and that they're going to start taking down statues and renaming streets. Well, descendants of African slaves every day have to drive down street, live on streets, work on streets that are named after Confederate soldiers who fought a war so that they wouldn't be able to drive down that street. If we are a nation who gets over our prejudices and moves forward for progress, why are we still holding on to these ridiculous ideas? Oh, well, because it's part of our history. Right. You know what? Let me give you a little history lesson again. You ready for this one?
I'm waiting.
Okay. All right. Fanta. Everybody drinks Fanta. I don't drink it, but lots of people like to drink it. Guess what? It was created in Nazi Germany by the Nazis. Well, Coca-Cola kind of tried to hide that fact for a while, but they thought that it was a good time to bring it out in an ad campaign in Germany a couple of years ago. So the German government, who acknowledges that they have a Nazi past, but are embarrassed by it, not only forced Coca-Cola to take the ad down off of their television, but had them pay restitution for being insensitive. That's how the Germans deal with their Nazi past. But here in the United States, we celebrate it. Doesn't make any sense. We obviously are too immature to run a country or to make decisions. I don't know.
It's not everybody's fault, is it? You know, you have a look at the very, very large amount of money and time that has been spent specifically to turn the most well-read, freest and intelligent populations and most hardworking populations in the world into the fattest, stupidest, laziest and easiest to manipulate group of fucks on the planet Earth. All right, that's what's happened. That's what I see every time I think about America. I think about what it was once upon a time, what it could have been.
Maybe before we were born.
and now what's unfortunately come to pass. And it's the same thing with everybody's empire, isn't it? You know, people just don't remain vigilant because they're quite happy for a time sitting around watching entertainment, being distracted from important issues, not experiencing any development in themselves. I found one of the other interesting signs of a collapsing empire is a obsession with food and food preparation. How many goddamn cooking shows are there on?
I think there's a whole network devoted to it.
I believe there's several. And it's just going out of control, man. I mean, this is the end, people. You know, food networks is one of the signs of the end times. You know, I mean, it's just that important that you need to devote an entirety of a network to it, you know. There's just nothing more important to broadcast about. How many networks are actually dedicated to broadcasting the actual truth? And I'm talking about, like, big, lots of 24-hour programming and something like that. Wouldn't that be interesting if there actually was an accessible online, plus, you know, via Roku box or Netflix or whatever the hell, cable TV sort of channel that actually did give you a 24-hour news channel. Just like CNN or Fox News have got, you know, the news channel just runs 24/7. Like, there's enough content out there, there's enough people out there, but is there enough coordination? Is there enough resources? Are there enough people willing to get a platform like that up and going? Because it's too expensive, isn't it, Suzanne? I mean, TV is ridiculously expensive, insanely expensive, and it's not even worth it.
A lot of people don't realize, like, Rachel Maddow pays to be on the air. She makes her money off of books and things like that that she sells, but she has to pay for that airtime. Bill O'Reilly pays for that airtime. And it's expensive. I mean, if you have $1,500 a month, any of us could be on NPR. I don't have an extra $1,500 a month. Do you, Vinny?
I was getting asked to pay like $2,000 an episode.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, including having it edited for me.
That's incredible.
Broadcast licensing
it's
fees.
It's expensive.
And this is on a very, very tiny little local network, and that's considered an incredibly cheap thing.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
that's
mercy.
Why these people work the way that they do. That's why they write books. That's why they go on other talk shows. They all have something that they're selling because, or it's their network. You know, Amy Goodman was smart, and so was Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington. She sold it to Time Warner for $303 million. But that's what it takes. It takes a lot of money to be where they are. And unless you have even close to that kind of money, to be anywhere where people in the mainstream, not just mainstream media, but in the mainstream audience's eyes, you have to have a lot of money and have spent a lot of money. That's why it always surprises me when certain people in alternative media show up in mainstream, because I know they paid a lot of money for that spot. Where'd they get that money? Gold.
Buy silver.
Life straw.
Buy guns.
Heavy artillery.
Buy storable food.
MREs.
Buy a bunker.
Oh yeah, buy a bunker.
Buy a portable waterproof, soundproof, lightproof bunker.
Wait a minute, weren't we supposed to build all these bunkers? Like, what happened to that? Did they realize that it was too expensive for people to afford to build bunkers and they just gave it up?
I don't know. Cash for clunkers or bunkers for stunkers. I don't know what happened to it. It just fizzled out and went down like a like one in five men do. You know, just couldn't get the bunkers up. And I believe that there's this whole underlying issue here is that people want to feel comfortable. They want to understand like everything and know, okay, like, this is what I have to do. And I understand that this is the truth. Oh, dude, if you're sure of anything, the only one thing I'm sure of is you know nothing. Right? Don't be so sure. There's so much crazy stuff out there. I can't even begin to understand it or believe it, you know. But it's when you really become to have an obsession with having a handle on things, you realize you can only actually get a handle on maybe one or two things. Like I'm talking about entire subject matters. You know, you want to handle the occult, or handle Christianity or the history of that or something. There's this over-specialization capacity that people have, and then there's the generalization capacity where you just know a little bit about a lot of different things and talk to a few people who know a lot about individual items. And then you gain a little bit of a broader perspective on things, and that broader perspective is the thing that prevents you from being so sure of yourself, that you think that you're entitled to ignore contrary evidence to your opinion. And that's the problem. And I think mainstream media is never really giving people enlightening good stuff for their life, you know? I think if you've got a radio show, if you've got a television show, if you've got the ability to reach bazillions of ears or whatever the hell, you should be doing something really important with that resource. Something extremely valuable for the people who are watching and listening. Not to just, you know, sell them personal loans. Fast food.
Right.
Fast food. Aluminium lace deodorant. I mean, for goodness sake, they're advertising antidepressants on TV nowadays. And the thing is, I've kind of lost touch, Suzanne. You know, I have no idea what the hell's on TV. In fact, I was watching TV the other day with my parents-in-law. We went out to their farm for the weekend for my mother-in-law's birthday. I'm sitting there, they're watching the TV, and then the ads come on, and I think it was maybe about by the third ad break in, I was absolutely unable to handle it. I was like running my fingers through my hair, and I was tensing up, and they were like, "Vinny, are you okay?" And I'm like, it's the ads, man, just turn it off, you know? And so it reminds me of what Stephen Hughes said. He says, me and TV, not a good mix for two reasons. I'm intelligent and I have a temper.
My son gets upset when he has to skip the ad on YouTube. And he says, they're just trying to sell you something. It's all stupid. Love that.
Yeah.
You should. You know what you need. You know what you ran out of. You don't need somebody to tell you what you need. You're a big boy or a big girl. You know what you need.
And it's usually something R18. I also feel that this, I don't know, labels. Labels are a real bastard at this point. Because what do you call yourself? Do you call yourself a truther? Do you call yourself an alternative media journalist? Do you call yourself independent media or non-corporate media? What the hell, man? I get really pissed off because so many people fit into multiple labels, right? And many more people don't understand that dynamic. Hey, you can be many things simultaneously and can't just sideline everybody up onto one ideological path just because you say so, you know, without further inquiry. Pigeonholing people, I really don't like that. I like to look at the whole organism in order to analyze the scumbaggery. Because sometimes when you have a look at something somebody says and you think, oh man, that makes them a shill. And then you look at another thing they says and you go, well, I guess he just kind of contradicted himself and or explained the other side of it. So he's obviously not selling anything because he's got nothing to gain from doing that. You see what I'm saying? It's almost, yeah. It's almost like cosmic irony, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to mention some cosmic irony right now. Are you ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody who was all for Planned Parenthood, and I'm not going to discuss Margaret Sanger, and I'm not going to discuss William Gates Sr. I'm just talking about what just happened here in America. Center for Medical Progress put out a bunch of videos with which had allegations.
The Center for Maniacal Progress?
And medical. They are maniacal. They put out a bunch of videos, and they had allegations, but no proof. I was waiting for the documentation because if the fetal tissue was being sold to a biotech company, they're in the accounting office of both companies, you know, Planned Parenthood and the tech company, you would be able, with FOIA request, be able to get documents to prove the allegations that were made in the videos. But none of that happened. After 3 years of doing this investigation, the Center for Medical Progress never bothered to get a hold of any documentation that proved the allegations in the videos. They just put the videos out. And because of the videos, everybody got upset. Everybody was using defund PP hashtag. And all this stuff went around to the extent that elected officials in Congress were ready to defund Planned Parenthood somewhere around $500 million a year. Let me just tell you guys what they actually wanted to defund, because you can't use your Medicaid or your Medicare benefits for an abortion in this country unless you are the victim of rape, incest, or the mother is in mortal danger carrying the baby to term. So what these Republican Christian conservatives were saying is, let's take example in South America. There was just in the news, a 10-year-old girl was raped by her father. And she's being forced to have the baby, which could kill her. If she were in this country, the Christian conservatives would force her to have the baby as well. It's not about Planned Parenthood. It's not about defunding Planned Parenthood. The amount of money that they get from the federal government is nothing compared to what they get in donations. Planned Parenthood's not going to go away. They just want to make sure that rape victims, incest victims, or women who would die having the baby die, suffer the rape and the incest and have the child. That's how sick these people are. And that's religion right there. And I'm not going to go off on a tangent on religion, but everyone got punked. And here's how everyone got punked. One of the biggest arguments was that Planned Parenthood was selling the fetal tissue for profit. Well, in 2014, Planned Parenthood performed just under 400,000 abortions. So, by the way, that's not genocide. But anyway, with those 400,000 abortions, they only would have profited $21.4 million from if they sold fetal tissue from every single one of those abortions, which there's no proof that they did. But in order to mail it off to the biotech industry, it would cost at least $2,000 per specimen, because that's how much it costs. It's not like you put it in a priority box and send it off for a couple of bucks. It has to be carefully packaged, and it's cool, and it has to have parameters, and it costs a lot of money to have that done. That's a deficit of $63.2 million that Planned Parenthood would have to incur in order to sell those aborted fetal tissue samples, only incurring $21.4 million in profit. And here's the kicker. 12 states have initiated investigations into Planned Parenthood, and four of those states have come up empty-handed. And they're all Christian conservative states run by governors who are of the same bent.
Well, I guess they didn't plan on that.
A third of the states who have been investigating Planned Parenthood came up empty-handed. Now, there are 700 clinics in the United States. Let's investigate all of them. Absolutely. But when they all come up empty-handed, and the Christian conservatives have to acquiesce that what they believe about this organization may not actually be true, then guess what? People who actually need those services, like incest victims, rape victims, women who would be mortally injured, I guess if you could say it that way, by having the baby, who cares about those women, right? No, it's just we have to have biblical principles. We have to have biblical values. They put out propaganda. They get their constituents and their viewers and their listeners all up in a huff. They get them all over social media. It goes all the way to our Congress without evidence.
See, now these are what I call, there's two types of Christians. And the one that you're describing is the hypocristians.
Yes!
Yeah. The other kinds are the other ones who actually embody the principles, who do have love, generosity, and nurture, and guard, and protect, and pure, and kind, and loyal, and friendly. Those kind of people. The others, on the other hand, are angry all the time. They're always talking about other people and how they're the problem. Always wondering how they can solve this problem by badgering all of these people that they don't like, that they claim are the source of all your woes in your life, instead of taking personal responsibility for the fact that you're a fucking loser and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about and you should shut the fuck up, maybe learn something for once in your goddamn life, and then figure out that not only are you not the center of the universe, but you're actually a part of it. And just because things and people are different to you and don't believe what you believe doesn't mean that they are not also a part of the same existence and the fabric that binds us.
I think that we need to have I was mentioning it earlier, but I think we need to have an ideological revolution. I think we need to admit that we are holding on to ideas, concepts, even religions that are hurting us, that have been hurting us for centuries, and we need to just let it go. We're not going to progress as a society. We're not going to progress as a species until we let these things go. We're going to continue to have conflict. We're going to continue to hurt each other based on things that are not evidenced to ever have been true. And just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. So we need to grow up a little bit, especially here in the United States, but globally. I think we as a species need to grow up a little bit, realize that some of these concepts that we have been holding on to for centuries are destroying our ability to move forward into time and actually become a successful species. And the reason why we have all of these arguments is because of those things. And if we just let them go, the other things that are wrong with our world and our thinking and the way that we conduct ourselves in public would just fall away. It would become blatantly obvious. But I don't know what it would take to get that to happen.
Well, you know, sometimes acceptance and sometimes purging. It's a balancing act. You know, I was just thinking about this, political correctness and what have you. Like, you were always really afraid to offend people, and I am afraid to offend people, but I do it anyway because it must be done, and I know that nobody else is actually going to put themselves out on a limb in order to say what other people are thinking, but are too afraid to fucking say. All right, and that's not because I'm brave; it's because I'm stupid and because I'm reckless. But it's just the kind of stupidity and just the kind of recklessness you need, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and speaking of political correctness, right? Let's think about this. When you were young and you got teased at school or something like that, or somebody called you a bad name or tried to verbally abuse you or something, what did your parents teach you? They teach you some kind of rhyme or some kind of tricky phrase or something like that to dispel that negativity. Just, ha ha, I got you back. I know you are, but what am I? That kind of thing, right? But instead now, when a child comes home to their parents and they're crying because they got teased, they got called a name for the first time, the parent now goes, oh, sticks and stones will break my words, but words are way more fucking deadly, and you need to spend most of your life preemptively making sure no one uses them against you because you're obviously too weak to handle that shit. Or at least I think that's how the rhyme goes. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
A little bit too sensitive, maybe.
They emasculate children. Children should be taught to stand up for themselves, but that doesn't mean that you teach your kid how to punch. If we don't, nobody listening to this show or you or me like to be punched in the face. Nobody likes it. Sometimes we think that somebody deserves it, but we ourselves do not like to be punched in the face. The concept that, hey, you deserve it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it, is a wrong way of thinking. There are other ways to handle things, and I'm not saying that it's true for every situation. Look, if somebody wants to kick your butt, they're going to do it. If somebody wants to kill you, they're going to do it. We have things in place to make sure that you are safe, and most likely that wouldn't happen, but sometimes it does. And part of it is that we allow, throughout the course of the average person's life, the concept that we can fight back, but not the tools in order to do so positively. So we blow up. We get all mad and we hold it in and hold it in, and then we can't hold it in anymore. And repression is the major part of the problem. We don't know how to deal with each other. We don't know what the right way to think is, because our concepts cause conflict. And that's a defining, you know, that's a way to measure whether or not you're being successful. If what you're doing is causing conflict and it doesn't have a positive outcome at the end of it, I'm not saying that conflict is not necessary, because civil rights movement shows that conflict sometimes is necessary. But that is an example of the right way to do things.
There's a chain of command. So, there's a progression that goes on. I didn't mean chain of command as in somebody should just tell you what to do. I'm talking about, you know, you first try these things, and, you know, further down the track, if there's absolutely no other option but to take it to the streets and get angry and you know, start confrontation, then that's what you got to do, ultimately. Only because you've got no choice.
Black Lives Matter. They should be out there protesting, and it's a good thing that they are, because it's a concept that we need to reestablish in our mindset here in the United States. And that is, unfortunately, the length that they have to go through to get their voice heard. And that is a testament not of them, but of us. That means we won't listen to a group of people who are being murdered disproportionately every day, to the extent that they have to disrupt our lifestyle to get us to listen to them. That means that we are the problem. And the way that we treat each other is bad. And we need to treat each other differently. Because there's 14% of the United States who are dying. And if they're not, they're subjugated to horrible ghettos. And there's no way out of that. Yes, some people make it out, but the majority don't. And they live generation after generation in abject poverty. And the only thing to do is to join a gang, or you're going to get killed, or become a drug dealer, or you're going to get killed. Most white people don't know what that's like. Like, you're going to join this gang. People hold a gun to your head and drag you to the meeting and force you to join the gang. That happens. That's happened today several times. It'll happen tomorrow. It happened yesterday. It will continue to happen. But hey, those people don't matter. Let's throw them away. No, they're out in the streets now protesting, saying, I matter. My dead son, my dead husband. Eric Gardner had 4 children and a wife, little children. They have to grow up without their father. That's not fair. No one should have to grow up without their father simply because this cop decided that he wasn't allowed to sell loose cigarettes and choked him to death. That's not acceptable. That move was outlawed 20 years ago. These issues that we're seeing in these videos, just a couple of days ago, a white man with no shirt on and shorts, and he's gunned down with his hands up in the air. And the police chief, reviewing the video, said, well, they tried everything that they could try beforehand, and they had to resort to shooting him.
You have to be naked. You have to be naked in those situations. It was Tupac's dad, I think. He was hiding from the cops, and he was staying with a friend of his. And the cops came to their house, and they pulled out all their revolvers and everything like that, and pointed them at the house, shot the house up, and then told them to come out. And Tupac's dad told his mate, go out naked, bro. Absolutely naked. And the guy's like, nah, bro. He took most of his clothes off and just comes out in his boxers. Tupac's dad walks out, swinging in the breeze. No gun on him, obviously. Hands up. They don't shoot him. His friend comes out, just wearing his boxers. Bang, he's dead. That's the kind of shit that you really got to wrap your head around, man. That the suppression of black Americans by the authorities isn't a perception. It's very real. It's long documented, you know. Have a look at the work of John Podash about the secret war on Tupac and black leaders. You know, this is some really real shit that we're dealing with right now. And wouldn't it be nice if we could actually expose it, actually get it into public consciousness, this Black Lives Matter thing? You know, this would be one of the avenues that I like to do, because basically anything that's publicly acceptable, anything that's popular, I take it, what I like about it, and then I try to take the extreme path that nobody else really wants to take at this point. And that's talk about COINTELPRO and the deliberate agenda to suppress black people. And which is, basically, it's affecting everybody, but black Americans ever so much more than everybody else. You've been listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest has been Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Of course, please remember to go to TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com and check out our sponsors. If you want to be protected from EMF and wireless radiation, go to Blue Shield. And if you want some nice soap, the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Australia there. And if you're in New Zealand, you want your house checked out, get to Safe Space New Zealand, and I'll check out all the wireless and all the electric signals that you can't see. The guy's got devices you wouldn't even believe. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening.